Last week we got up to the Gemara in the bottom of Tzadik Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara quotes two versions of the same Chacham. They quote Reb Shoba Levi quotes in the name of Bar Kappara. Bar Kappara was a Tana, a Talmud of Rabbi Yudal Nasi. So the first version is Amar Abchei Baraba. He says four or five lines from the bottom. Chia Baraba quotes in the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi, the name of Bar Kappara, one version. And then someone else quotes, Rav Asi quotes in the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi, the name of Bar Kappara, a totally different version. Opposite. Two versions. When Trefus falls in, little Chazashmaltz falls into a pot of vegetable soup, so what do you need? How much kosher vegetable soup do you need to be mevatel of the little bit of Chazashmaltz? So we usually assume Shishim. We usually assume whenever you have shishim, it probably will no longer be nois in tam. Unless you put in salt, or you put in pepper, or you put in milsa david ala taima, flavoring, or a concentrate. A concentrate gives tam much more than shishim. So we paskin shishim. And the other opinion is that it's meyo. Machlekes whether shishim or meyo. Vos bashteta machlekes. So the Gemara says, on the last two lines, ushneihem, and the both versions of what Rabbi Shimon Levi said in the name of Bar Kappara, Shneim lo lemadua elam is Rabbi Shimon. They both based it on the same pasuk in Chumash. The Chumash has in Parshas Naso, institution of a nozir, a person, a man or a woman, isha, can be mekabel on neder nazirus. A nozir has to be a minimum of 30 days. He can be 30 years if he wants. It can be 12 years, 5 years, whatever he wants, a minimum of 30 days. And he's not allowed to be Madame Le Mason, and he's not allowed to drink wine or eat grapes, and he's not allowed to take a haircut the whole time. And after the whole Zman is up, whatever Zman he specified, if he doesn't specify any Zman, so Stam Naziris is Shloshimam. If he doesn't say how long, it's 30 days. If he says more than 30 days, it'll be more than 30 days. When it's all over, he still has to observe all of the three prohibitions, Gimel Minim Asurim Nazir, the Tuma, Tiglachas, and the Yayin, has to observe it until he brings the Karbonis. Once he brings the Karbonis, that's a Matir. So then he's allowed to take a haircut, he's allowed to be Metamel Mesim, he's allowed to drink wine. Racha Yishta Nazir Yayin, after he brings the Karbonis. So one of the Karbonis that he has to bring is a Shalmei Nazir, a Karbon Shlomim. The Shalmei Nazir, he has to take one leg, the Zraya, and cook it together with the rest of the Shlomim. So Rashi explains the last line in Rashi. The Shalmei Nazir is a regular Shlomim, so it's Nechal by the Bailam. The Nazir himself, he invites his friends, his relatives, Jewish people, have to be Tohar, and they eat the Shlomim in Yerushalayim. They eat a big dush of the Tahar, they have to be Tohar. So the Shalmei Nazir is a regular Shlomim, Nechal to Yisraelim. The Zroya B'Sheila is only allowed to be eaten by Kohanim. A non-Kohen is not allowed to eat it. And nonetheless, you cook it in the same pot. So you have cooking in the same pot a leg, a Zroya B'Sheila, front leg, of the Shlomim, which is also Lazarim. Let's say you have Truma, and you cook Truma in the same pot together with Chulin. So the Truma is going to give a flavor into the Chulin. So a non-Kohen is not allowed to eat Truma, so the non-Kohen is called the Zar. One is not a Kohen, is not only not allowed to eat the Truma, he's not allowed to eat the vegetable soup that the Truma was cooked in either, because of Nesinas Tam, has a Nesinas Tam. So here, the Torah says, the non-Kohanim are permitted to eat, the Yisraelim, the Bailim, are permitted to eat the whole Shlomim, the Shalmei Nazir. The only part they're not allowed to eat is the Zerah B'Shelim. So how are you talking? How come? Why does they make a trade? So the answer is, it's probably bottled b'shishim. So what's taka the ratio? What's the ratio between the Zeroya b'sheila and the rest of the Shalmei Nazir? So there are two versions, whether it's 60 or 100. Which is it? Which is it? When you take an ayil, it's an el nozer. When you take an ayil, a ram, and you take the Zeroya, so what is the ratio? So the Gemara says it depends. What do you have to be mavatl? The flesh on the Zroya, the bone is very bulky, and there's hardly any flesh. So if you calculate the flesh on the el on the shal on the Zroya b'sheila, vis-a-vis the flesh and the rest of the Shalmei Nazir, so that's going to be you're going to have meya against it. But if you measure the whole bone with the flesh against the whole, all the bones in the flesh of the rest of the El Nazir, that's going to be shishi.
If the leg goes to the Kohen and the Zohar can't eat it, now you're cooking it and being mavatal at 100, aren't you being mavatal
yisul chatchila? Absolutely. So there's normally a din, ain mavatal yisul chatchila. Not allowed to do that. So there's a big machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. Is that an isa deraisa or is that an isa derabba? Ain mavatal yisul chatchila. So most of the Rishonim assume that it's only an isa derabbanan. So we're going to have to see how you read the Gemara. The simple reading of the Gemara is that this parsha is a yotze min haklal. It's an exception to the rule of Ein Mevatel Nisa L'chatchila. So the simple reading of the Gemara, we're going to try to get there tonight, is that normally it should have been Aser, and this Pasuk allows you to do what normally is Aser. What normally would be Aser, Ein Mevatel Nisa L'chatchila. Yeah, but the problem is that we pass an Ein Mevatel Nisa, the Rabbi holds like that. Ein Mevatel Nisa L'chatchila is a Din Deraisa. So we don't pass like that. We assume it's only an Isa Derabbanan. So what does the Gemara say? That the Parsha Be'el Nozer is a Chiddush. A Chiddush means Dabah HaSeisa is a Klal. It's an exception to the rule. Why is it an exception to the rule? But the Reis of the Din is, it's always Mutta Levata Lisa Chila. So why is it an exception to the rule? So the Rishonim say no. Normally there's no Avera if you cook Treifus together with Kosher, if you know that you have Shishim. But a Mitzvah, it's not a Mitzvah either. You never have a Mitzvah to cook Treifus together with Kosher. Here it's a Mitzvah to cook the Treifus. The Zeruah B'Sheila is treif as far as Azar is concerned. As far as a non-Kohen is concerned, it's considered treif. So it's a mitzvah min atar to cook the treifus in the same pot with the kosher food, to cook the Zeruah B'Sheila in the same pot. But the Gemara does bring it up. The Gemara says that this parsha of cooking the Zeruah B'Sheila together with the El Nazir is a chiddush lahakel. It's an exception to the rule. It breaks the rule. So the Rabbi learns it breaks the rule of Eim Avatan Yisrael Chatchil, exactly what you said. And the other Rishonim say, no, that's only Midi Rabbanan. It just breaks the rule that you never have a mitzvah to cook treifas with kosher. Here it's a mitzvah dafka to cook it together. Yeah. Some of the Rabbaran Alevi has hasogas on the Rashbo, learned by the Ramban. So he wrote a whole sefer, Torah Sabayis, different sections of Shulchan Aruch are based on different svarim. Much of the Shulchan Aruch is based on the Rambam. A lot of it is word for word the same as the Rambam. And other sections are based on other swarms. So the whole Chelek Aleph Yerideya, first Chelek Yerideya, is based on the Rashbo's Teres Abayis. The Rashbo wrote a whole sefer. So the same time the Rashbo learned by the Ramban, the Ra'o, Rabban Alevi, also learned by the Ramban. So he has running commentary, he has running Hasogis, and the sefer Teres Abayis, he calls it Berek Abayis. He's fixing up the broken house. So the Rashbo wrote the Teres Abayis. He built the whole structure, the whole Yeridei is based on the Rashbo. So the Ra'o makes fun, he wrote a Berek Habayis. So then the Rashbo wrote in defense, he writes Mishmeres Habayis. He comes to defend and to protect what he wrote. So the Ra'o, Rabban Alevi, writes about this topic, about Eim Avat Anisul Chatchila. He also holds that the whole prohibition, Eim Avat Anisul Chatchila, is only the Rabbonon. It's not the Natura. But that's if it's Lach Balach, means like this. Let's say I'm cooking vegetable soup. Let's say cooking vegetable soup, and someone, a wise guy, he wants to give his mother a heart attack, so he takes chazashmaltz and he measures that. He pours a little bit of chazashmaltz into the pot of vegetable soup. He knows that you have shisha. He knows that's going to be bottle. So we assume that that's only an isa derabbanan. That's not an isa deraisa. So Rabban Alevi writes, that's right, that we hold not like that, right? But that's only an isa derabbanan. What if you go to the store and you buy two kosher salamis and one treifas salami, and you take off the wrappers, and then you mix them up, and now you can't tell which is which. So that's a tarubis of yavish b'yavish, chad b'trei bottle. So he says, no, yavish b'yavish, chad b'trei bottle, that for sure is an isa deraisa. Ein mevata nisa l'chatchila by yavish b'yavish, by lach b'lach, I'm pouring chazashmaltz, I'm pouring a teaspoon of chazashmaltz into a big pot of vegetable soup, and I know that I have shishim against the chazashmaltz, and I won't be able to taste the flavor, won't be able to discern the flavor. So that's Eim Avat Anisul Chatchila, that's only Midi Rabbonim. Because Lach Balach, he says, it's Kemanda Leisei, it loses its identity. But Yavish Be Yavish, the tray for salami is there in front of your eyes. You just can't identify which it is. So that for sure is an Isa Deraisa. So the Rashbo in the Mishmeres Abayis makes fun of the Ra'o. So he says, he's writing for Balabatim. He's writing to get the Balabatim all riled up. He said the din is the same. Aim about the nisal hatchil is only nisal derabbanan. Doesn't make a difference, but there's lach balacha yavish be yavish. Yavish yavish also. Then a teretz mutter to do that, to buy three salamis, one tray for salami and two kosher salamis, to remove the wrappers, and you won't know which is which. So that's also only awesome at the Rabbanim. That's stuck a while. Many hold like the ra'or without even realizing they didn't even have a ra'or. Many hold like that ra'or.
But it's a ra'or. This is an old Michael Asura only to a coin, but intrinsically it is not a Michael Asura, which has
it's a mitzvah. It's kosher. It's a mitzvah to eat it. Yeah, but it's a mitzvah for the coin to eat it, like truma. It's a mitzvah for the coin that he says a bracha. He says bar priagofen on the wine. That's truma. Then he says ashikadoshan b'kedushas shalom b'sivan v'alachidos truma. So the same thing when the coin eats the zor b'shel, he says shahakol on a piece of flesh, and he says ashikadoshan says it's one alachidos zor b'shelo. He's doing a mitzvah, but as far as the non-coin is concerned, it's called treif. It's also called treif. Yeah.
Isn't usually
mitzvah
the chila you want to eat the isir, but here you're giving it to the coin. Sure, there is a belia, but you are giving it to the coin. You're not.
No, he's giving the Zor B'Sheila to the Kohen. Yes. Kohen has no problem. But the Yisraelim are going to eat the rest of the Shalmei Nozir.
Usually when you have a Tarobis and you put the Yisir in, and then you will be eating the Yisir. Here you're not eating the Yisir. Here you are giving it to the Kohen. You have a Tarobis, I understand, but it's a little different than all the other Yisraelim. But L'chila, you want to eat the Yisir.
Yeah, but particles of the flesh are going to be nibbling into this. Yeah. Some of it I am eating. I'm not going to eat a whole kezias, but chatzis shir is asman on dirt. I'm having a little bit, otherwise it wouldn't give in a sinas tam. Obviously, part of the bien dissolves and it goes into the rest of the flesh. But you have shishim against it. So that's the machlokes in kola terakula. In kola terakula, do you need shishim or do you need mayo? So the Gemara says again on the second line from the bottom, shneihem, the both versions of what Bar Kapora said, Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, "Name of Kapora, Shneim lo lemadua, El is Rabbi Shela dichsiv." V'lokach hakoynes has Rabbi Shela. V'tanya we have a brayse b'shela. What's the connotation of the word b'shela? Em shela el shleima. Okay, that's going to be a question in the Gemara. How do you translate that phrase? Em shela el shleima. Shleima means you cook the zray b'shela when it's still attached to the el nazir. You cook it all together? Oh no, you cut it off and then you cook it in the same pot. So why is it called shleima? It means you shouldn't slice it into tiny pieces. Mm-hmm. You should have it intact in one piece when you cook it in the pot. Later on when the kohen eats it, he'll take a fork and a knife and he'll cut slices off. Not could eat the whole zrei at one time. But when you cook it, it should be shleima.
What
does know what language, like it says Taitofis, Taitofis is a tefillin shehavas beinenecha tat pas? It's an African in two different languages. So tat bekas vishnaim and pas b'afrikish dat. Rashi does know what language does the word b'sheila have the connotation of shleima. How does it? It must be some foreign Arabic or Spanish or Latin or something. It doesn't know what language it is. Deis aloshim. What language are they darshaning over here? So there's some kind of machloikas over here between the Tanakhama, the anonymous Tanakhama, it doesn't have a name. If he would say Omer, it's a new memra, he's not disagreeing with what preceded, but it says Omer, when it says Omer after the name, means he disagrees with the Tanakhama. So what did the Tanakhama say that he's disagreeing with him? It's unclear. So the Gemara is going to have two versions. Rav Shimon bar Yochai disagrees, and he says, no, and b'sheila elish and his bashla imho ayol, you cook it all together. So what exactly are they disagreeing about? So the Gemara says, Dikuli, the first version is Dikuli Alma, they both agree to what Rav Shimon bar Yochai said, that Bahari Ayol Mevashalo, you cook the Zerah B'Sheila together with the Ayol. So what are they fighting about? Mar Sava, but the Machlekes is, you first cut off the Zerah B'Sheila and then you cook it together in the same pot, or you cook it together intact and then you cut it off later to give it away to the Kohen. Mar sava mechatech lo b'hadim mevashlo. You cut it off first, then you cook it together. Mar sava mevashlo b'hadim mechatech lo. It's unclear who's the mar sava. Who holds which way? The Tanakhama holds em b'sheila el shleima. That means you leave it attached. And Rav Shimon bar Yochai disagrees. No, you detach it and then you cook it together.
Or no, Reb Shemecha, it's unclear. Ashala Rashi interprets who's Mar? Mar Sava. Which Tana holds the Ikarua first, and which Tana holds the Ikarua after cooking? But that's the first version. Those are the Gansa Machloikas, but the Ikarua before you cook or after. But you cook it together, that the Olig Boy is Seima, and if you want to, you can say a different interpretation, because it's absolutely unclear in the Brisa what they're fighting about. What is the argument between the Tanakama and Shemachavi? Boy is saying, and if you want, you can say differently. They all agree that you detach it first and then you cook it. But the machlekes is, they cook it in the same pot or they cook it in a separate pot. So Shimon Bar Yochai, according to this version, we know who said which way. Shimon Bar Yochai says, "Ein b'sheila el shenis bashla im ho'ayil." He says, "Before you cook it together." And that's exactly what the Tanakhama disagrees. However, the point of debate, the point of the disagreement is Masava Bahadi Almavashala. Shem Bar Yochai says you cook it together. And Umarsava and the Tanakhama holds Bigdayracheris Mavashala. So according to the first version, they both agree that you cook it together. According to the second version, Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai holds that you cook it together. So the Gemara raises the issue. Lalishne kama, according to the first version, aliba de dire hakol, according to both Tanaim, and lalishne basu, according to the second version, aliba de Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai, what are you doing? You're cooking it together. So how can you eat the? How can the Yisraelim eat the flesh of the El Nazir, but it was cooked together with the Zeray B'Shela, which is also Lazarim? So doesn't it make a treif? So the answer is no, it's batal. How much do you have to be mabatal? So that's the machlokes on Amud Aleph, two versions of what Bar Kappara said, that he said batal b'shishin. That's what we know yesterday, everything in batal b'shishin. We never heard of this batal b'meir. So the Gemara said, that's the machlokes, whether it's batal b'shishin or batal b'meir. So which is it? So what's the ratio of the Zerah B'Shela to the rest of the El Nazir? So the Gemara says, Mandi Amud b'shishin, the version that says, that's the version we, the famous version, Batal B'Shishim Sovar, his opinion is, Basabatsamis Bahari Basabatsamis Misharina. You measure the whole Zerah B'Shela as it stands. The whole Zerah B'Shela, it's very bulky in bone, but it doesn't have that much flesh to it. So the whole Zerah B'Shela, the whole thing, the bone with the flesh, is one, it has 60 units, the rest of the aisle has 60 against it. That opinion is Ereshishim. According to the other opinion, he said, why do you have to be mevatel the bone of this Rebbe Shem? The bone is not edible. Let's say you have an elephant, there's a non kosher, you have a horse. So there's a pasuk in the Chumash, you're not allowed to eat besar behemet tmei, not allowed to eat the flesh of the elephant. Let's say the hooves of the elephant, or the horns of the elephant, or the bones. So sometimes there are soft bones that you can chew. Let's say a chicken, sometimes you can chew the bones, they're soft, so that's edible. Or the marrow inside the bone, the moyach shebetzem, marrow is dina kibasa. But if you have a hard bone, or tooth, so there's no isa trefus on the teeth of an animal, it's not bizarre behema. So the bone of the Zerah B'Shela, why should you have to be mevatel the bone? Only the flesh on the bone is also lazar. So you should only have to be mevatel flesh. So that's what the second opinion, Mar Sovar, where was it again? Uman di Omar. Man di Omar, Bimeya, why should it be Bimeya Sovar? Basa Bahari Basa Misharinan, Bahavale Bimeya. You just measure the flesh in the Zerah B'Shela. You don't have to measure the bone. The bone is not also lazar. The bone is not also bachila. The bone is not edible. It's not right, lachila. Why does Taka, the first one, hold that you need? You have to be mevatel, you have to calculate to be mevatel a bone also. So you see, from this Gemara, Rav Soloveitchik used to talk about this a lot. You see that the din of Tam Kiike doesn't simply mean kozman, you can taste the flavor of the treifis, so then it's considered as if it's nikar ha'isa. You pour it in, I have a pot of vegetable soup, and I pour in so much chazer schmaltz, that when I'm going to take every spoonful of vegetable soup, I'm going to taste the flavor of the chazer schmaltz, as if it's nikar ha'isa. You see, if in this Gemara, you won't be able to taste the flavor. You have very little flesh here. This bulky and bone and very little flesh. You see from the Gemara that it's a formality. It's halacha, you need more than raif. So we say you need we need shishim, why? To be, you need a bigger roif. How big a roif do you need? So you need to be mevatel, whatever you would normally need to be mevatel of flavor. But over here, you really don't have to be mevatel the flavor of the bone. The bone is muta b'achila lehedya, but the bone is attached to the flesh. So it's a formality, even though the flesh will not succeed in giving an asinas tam in the rest of the flesh, because you have meya against it. You have more than meya. You have 100 units of kosher flesh of the el nazir, of the shlamim. You have 100 units of the shlamim against, of the Bisar Shlomim, against the one unit of the flesh of the Zroya. Really, the bones of the rest of the carbon and the bones of the Zroya, everything is Mutta. So you really have more than Meya. You really have way more than Meya over here. The bone of the Zroya B'Shele is Mutta. And the flavor of the flesh of the Zroya B'Shele is going to be spread equally through all the flesh of the El Nazir and the bone of the El Nazir and the bones of the Zerah B'Shelah. You have more than Meya. But the first Madama says, no, you have Shishim. Why do you have Shishim? It's a formality. You have to calculate Shishim against not only the Issa, the carrier of the Issa. So the bone is attached naturally. That's where it grows. The bone is attached to the flesh in the Zerah B'Shelah. So you have to calculate Pimevatl, the whole thing. Even though you know with your eyes closed, it's not nois and time, it's not giving time. So he said, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, you see from this Gemara that it's not simply, if it's nois and time, it's considered as if it's bien, as if it's not betarubis. No, it's clearly not going to be nois and time over here. It's a formality of halacha. You need a bigger roiv than just plain chabitrei. You need such a big roiv that it would have been able to take away the time. But you even have to be mevatel, you need shishim against the bone that's carrying these, even though the bone doesn't pose a problem.
I heard a few years ago that marshmallows are not kosher, non-kosher marshmallows are not kosher because they use
gelatin,
which comes from like fish, but it's not the meat of the fish. It comes from bones or whatever. So what's the problem?
That's a big machloikis. In Eretz Yisrael, the big gedolim were mekel on the gelatin. Reb Tzipesa Frank and the others, they were mekel on the gelatin because it comes from the bones and they take it out of the bones. In America, Rabban Kotler wrote a whole tshuva, and everybody's afraid to argue with Rabban Kotler. So if there's geblidim like that the gelatin is strength. But most of the Rabbonim in Eretz Yisrael didn't accept it. They'll give a hechsher on gelatin. The gelatin doesn't pose a problem. Baron Kotler came up with a very... Baron Kotler was a Rosh Yeshiva. He was the one who found the Lakewood. His field was not Paskin and Shanas. His field was saying Pilpulim on Gemaras. And he said Pilpulim, doctor. He said Pilpulim. He had a different style. His Derech Halim, he said his Derech Halim he got from the Chedush Arim. Chedush Arim was Achsidush Rebbe, the Ger Rebbe. Is a different style of learning. I remember I was once talking to a Balabas. So the Balabas knows in America, Lakewood is the highest level of learning, and the Derech Halimud Brisk is the highest level. Baron Kotler is the biggest brisker. Baron Kotler was the opposite. Nothing to do with brisk. Baron Kotler, nothing to do with brisk. Chedush Arim, that's what he says. Oh, a totally different style of learning. So he has a tshuva. They have the first thing they printed from Baron Kotler was his tshuvas. He wasn't known for his tshuvas. He was known for his pulpulim. So afterwards they printed Mishnas Rabbah and they printed all the Chidushi Torah that he said on the Gemaras, on the Rambams. But the volume of the Tshuvas that he wrote, some of them are very questionable. He has this long Tshuva about the gelatin. He came up with this fantastic Chiddush. There's what the Dingzach. The Pashta says that the gelatin is kosher. Pashta says the gelatin is kosher.
Wouldn't it some difference if I recall correctly, I'm taking it from a kosher animal or non-kosher animal?
He came up with a chiddush. You have to take it from a kosher animal. You can't take it from an avela, and you can't take it from a behemoth meya. But others disagree.
What Rabbi Soloveitchik is explaining is on a din d'oraisa.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he was explaining on the level of d'oraisa. Yeah.
So we had explained before when you had a chatichas iser because of the tarovah said you need shishim k'neged all of that. That was on a din d'rabbanan. That was on a level mid-Rabbanim, Mishayah. If you have one chaticha that had a belia of an iser, that you have to be mishar. That was a din de rabbana.
That was only the rabbana because it didn't grow naturally like that. It means like that. This in industrial kashrus, this shayla comes up most often. You have different ingredients in a product. You can have 45 ingredients in a product. So they put in a trefa ingredient, they mix it with another thing, and there's no shishin. At the end of the day, you're going to mix in so many different things, at the end of the day, you're going to have a million units against. They're going to have way more than shishin. But when you first mix the trefas into the little bit of kosher, you don't have shishin. So now that's the machlekes, the Rabbeinu Tam. That's on the next daf. This big fat taisis, daf kuf amanav, vishkona vasilko, they have the machlekes, Rabbeinu Ephraim from Regensburg, and the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Ephraim from Regensburg, Regensburg is a city in Germany, I think. So he was a Talmud of the Rabbeinu Tam. And on this point, he disagreed with his Rebbe. He disagreed with the Rabbeinu Tam. If you cook trefas in a pot with kosher food and you don't have shishim, and then this mixture falls into another pot. In industrial kashrut, they do it all the time. This shayla comes up in factories, comes up all the time. So now the Rabbeinu Tam came up with the chiddush that you need shishim. It's not enough if you have shishim against the non-kosher ingredient in the mixture. You have to have shishim against the whole carrier of the issa. So that, we assume, that's only with the Rabbanim. That's a machloikas. The Taisus, there's the long Taisus Daf Kuf from an Aleph, Rabbeinu Ephraim and Rabbeinu Tam. The end of the Taisus, they hold that that's also a din derais. The end of the Taisus has a kasha. The end of that Taisus has a kasha that goes like this: whenever you have a tray for kli, so how do you kasha it? How do you make a kosher? So you put it into a pot with burning hot water, and you kasha it. So Taisus is bothered with the kasha, so the treif of bliya will go into the burning hot water. What's going to prevent the bliya from coming back into the treif of bliya? What's going to prevent it? So one opinion of Taisus was, no, the kli will only be balea bliyas that are floating in the water from before. But the bliya that the pot just spit out now, the treif of fork or the treif of spoon, the treif of pot, the bliya that the treif of bliya that it just spit out into the burning hot water is not going to be bolea that back again. So Taisus says, "V'chichul de neviyahi." What the pot has ruach hakodesh to know which bliyas were there before, which bliya? That's ridiculous. Doesn't like that suggestion. So how do you have a kasher pot? So Taisus says the standard answer is you have to have shishim in the water. If you have a fork and you have a lot of water, burning hot water, so the treif of bliya goes from the fork into the water, it's bottled b'shishim, so you're right, nothing preventing it from coming back in, but by the time it comes back in, it's already bottled b'shishim, so there's no problem. What do you do if it's a gigantic kli? That's if it's a little fork. What do you do if you have a big pot? By kli nidyon, when they had the melchama with midyon, so they confiscated all the pots and pans that the army was using to cook for a whole army. They had gigantic pots. So it's not so easy to kasher a trefa pot in burning hot water. You have to have 60 times the thickness of the pot. You don't know how much bliya there is in the pot. Lo yadin kamen ofik b'nei, so you have to measure shishim in the water keneged the whole thickness of the pot. There's a far out possibility. It's impossible, but you don't know how much. Maybe the whole thickness of the pot is balua kulai with the trefa bliya. So you need shishim in the water can aggregate the whole thickness of the pot. What if you have a gigantic pot? So you won't be able to have shishim. So the Rishonim said, so you have to wait till the kli zayna ben yom. You have to wait 24 hours. What does that help? That's a gemara avodah zarah, maseches avodah zarah. When you have it, you cook trefas in a pot, and the trefa bliya is sitting in the metal of the pot for 24 hours, or sitting in the earthenware. So the metal or the earthenware is going to give a flavor and it's going to make a nice time of God. It's not going to taste normal. So the din is that Lorsa Torah Kadera Basyama, when the Torah said you have to kasher trefa pots, the Torah only says you have to kasher it if it's within 24 hours since you cooked the trefa. So 24 hours goes by already, so Minatora, you're allowed to cook in the trefa pot because the trefa bliya that's going to go into the, I'm going to cook kosher soup in a trefa pot. It became trefa a week ago. So the trefa bliya that's going to come from the pot into the vegetable soup that I'm going to cook today is not going to have a good flavor. That's going to be nice and tamal of gum. The kosher soup would have tasted better if it wouldn't have had this trefa bliya mixed in. So in our Torah, you don't have to kasher at all. But in the Rabbanan, they made a chumah, you have to kasher the pot. So once the pot is ain't ben yoimai, So if the treifabli is going to go into the water, then what are you afraid is going to go back into the pot? It's going to be nois and tam levgam. You don't have to worry about that. But that was the gzeira the rabbanon that you have to kasher a treifa pot even ben yoima, even ena ben yoima, even if 24 hours went by. So Tosis explains, no, you have to kasher a treifa pot because the tchilas habliya was l'shvach. When you originally cooked the treifas in the pot, it was nois and tam l'shvach. I cooked chazer in the pot, and the chazer was very delicious, very tasty. So since tchilas habliya was l'shvach, even though it's sitting in the metal thickness of the pot for 24 hours, now it's lefgam, but since tchilas habliya was l'shvach, so that's the gzeira mederabban, gzeira ene ben yom, ote ben yom. But once he kasher the treifa pot, there hasn't been use for treifas in 24 hours. So the treifa habliya goes into the water. There's nothing preventing it from going back into the pot. When it goes back into the pot now, it's going to be tchilas habliya levgam. So tchilas habliya levgam, they were never machmer mederabban. So Tosis has this kasha. At the end of this gigantic Tosis that goes from Amud Aleph to Amud Beis, so the last 25 lines in Tosis, it says in parentheses, Le'eldaf Pezayin, around 20 lines from the end of the Tosis. Then the next line they say, Lefi Pirush Aben Ephraim is Nicha the following problem. The line after the parentheses, Le'eldaf Pezayin Amud Aleph, they say the kasha. If you have a gigantic pot from clay midyan and you want to kasher it, so, and you can't have shishim in the water. The pot is so big, you can't have such a gigantic vat of water, burning hot water. So you have to wait till the clay is ene ben yomah. But the Gemara says, Minator, you don't have to kasher a pot that's ene ben yomah. So the Chumash is only talking about kashering pots that are ben yomah. So what if you have a gigantic pot and you won't have shishim? And the Torah never says you can't kasher a gigantic pot. The Torah says all the treifa pots, they kasher. So how can you kasher such a gigantic pot? So Tosis says, if you hold like the Rabbeinu Ephraim, we have a terrace. All like Rabbeinu Tam, they don't have a terrace. But if you hold like the Rabbeinu Ephraim, you're not going to have shishim in the water against the pot. So let's say you'll have 30. You'll have 30 units of water against the 1 unit to thick, or you have 10 units of water, the water will be so much, it'll be 10 times as much as the thickness of the pot. So the treifa habliya will go into the water, then it's going to come back in. You won't have shishim. It's only going to come back in, 1/10 of it is going to be treif. So then you pour out the water, then you kasher it a second time. So the treifa habliya will go into the water, and you only have 10 times as much. Now it's going to be 1/100. Because originally only 1/10 came back in, because there was 10 units of water against the 1 unit of treifas. So he spilled out all the water. Now you're going to kasher a second time. So if you do hagala twice, so you can kasher even a gigantic pot. So that's nicha if you hold like the Rabbeinu Ephraim, that there's no din of chaticha nas nevele b'shari surim, then you have a teret. But if you hold like the Rabbeinu Tam, and the Tosis is assuming the Rabbeinu Tam's din is a din min ha-Torah. So when you kasher the treifa pot, and you don't have shishim in the water, it's a gigantic pot, so the treifa habliya goes into the water, and you only have 10 units of water against it. You didn't have shishim, so the whole water is treif. So when the water gets balua back into the pot, it's not enough lay to spill out all the water and kasher a second time, and now it's only going to be 1/10 of 1/10, so it's going to be 100. Now, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you need shishim against the whole carrier of the issa. So it's not going to help to do a hagola twice. So that's what they ask. Going to Rabbeinu Tam, you have to say b'dochik, that when the Torah says you kasher all the clay midyan, it's only forks and knives, little kid. When you have a gigantic kli, you won't be able to kasher it. And they thought that was a dochik. So this Tosis presents to Rabbeinu Tam as if he said a real din deraisa, that chaticha nas nevele b'shari surim, if the iser fell into heter and you didn't have shishim, now you have to have shishim against the whole carrier of the iser. That was a din deraisa. That's this version in this tesis. And the Shach writes in the other day, we don't paskin like that. We paskin like the tesis later. I think it's kuf ches on the days. The tesis writes beferish that whole Rabbeinu Tam's din is only midirabbanon. Since the top tesis on kuf ches on the days, that the whole din of Rabbeinu Tam is only din midirabbanon. Here, by the Zerah B'Sheila, according to one opinion, it's a din deraisa, because the bone is attached organically. That's the way the aisle grows. The bone is attached to the flesh of the Zerah B'Sheila. So that's mamish, the carrier of the Issa. So it's a formality. You need shishim against the whole thing, even though the bone is kosher. Even though the bone is kosher, it shouldn't pose a problem. But if you happen to mix treifus into heter, that's not naturally like that. So that Rabbi Natam Shita, you need shishim keneged the whole taruvis, even though you have shishim against the isur shebo, that Rabbi Natam, we paskin like the later version, that Rabbi Natam is only midi rabbon. You have nafkaminis la'alacha, sometimes you have sveikis. So we say, sofik chatichan nasreel b'sharisum is la'akil. Because the whole din of chatichan nasreel b'sharisum, the whole din is only midi rabbon. But it's based on this Gemara, right? It's based on this Gemara that sometimes we say that you need shishim against the whole carrier of the Issa, right? It's rooted in a din deraisa. Yeah. Really, what it should have been, and you're a day to have a whole discussion about this. Really, what it should have been, he really should have said the bone of the Zeroi B'Sheila with the bones of the rest of the aisle, with all the flesh of the aisle, everything should be mitzdarf together to be Mevatel B'Shishim, the flesh of the Zeroi B'Sheila. So nobody said that in the Gemara. There were two opinions, Meyo or Shishim. So the opinion Shishim is that you have to be Mevatel, the whole carrier of the Issa. So the flesh of the Zeroi B'Sheila with the bone. All right. So the flesh and the bone of the rest of the El Nazir will be mevatel, the flesh with the bone of the Zeroi B'Sheila. So that shishim, that's how we pass. We understand that. But the other opinion was that only the flesh, you only have to be mevatel the flesh, and you forget about the carrier. So why does he say you only have to be mevatel the flesh? So the flesh in the Zeroi B'Sheila has meyah in the flesh of the El Nazir. There's 100 times as much flesh as the flesh in the Zeroi B'Sheila. But why you only? I understand why you don't have to be mevatel the bone of the Zeroi B'Sheila. Why don't you say the bone of the Zeroi B'Sheila with the bones of the rest of the El Nazir? Everything should be mitzvah to be mevatel the flesh of the Zeroi B'Sheila. That's a pelus, and Yeridei, they work hard on that.
Say with the Shalmei Nazir that the bone attached to the meat of the Zeroa, the bone also becomes something that's usur. But if we say you cook the entire animal together with the leg and the rest of the animal is attached to the meat and the bone of the Zeroa as well, that should all become usur.
And if you hold that, you don't cut it off.
If you don't cut it off.
That's a good question. That's a good question. I don't know. Got to think hard about that. I don't know. It's a very good question.
When does the Zeroa become a Zeroa? In terms of, is it before the Hanukkah or after?
Before the what?
Before they do the
Trufa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think when they shecht it. When they shecht
it. At that moment, even if the Nazir dies, that's it. It has to go to the Kohen and the rest is eaten by other people.
I think so. Once they shecht it, that's it. It's already designated. If the Nazir dies before they shecht it, I think it's also. You have a shlomim and the Nazir died before, so your makriv it is a shlomim. I don't know if, but when they shecht it, they already knew that he died. I don't know if you'll have the Zeroi B'Sheila. I don't know if the Zeroi B'Sheila also. But if the Nazir is still alive when they shecht it, I think that's it. It's nitka, the time of Shechita. That is the Zeroi B'Sheila. Yeah. Even before the Tenufa. So that's what the Gemara says. That is the Machlekes, the two versions of what Bar Kapora said. Whether in Kol HaTorah Kuli you need Shishim or you need Meya, Shneim lo lemadua ela the Zeroi B'Sheila. And that's the Machlekes. What do you have by Zeroi B'Sheila? Do you have Shishim or do you have Meya? Freg the Gemara Akashe in the middle of the Omud. How neither version makes any sense. How can you derive from the parsha of Zeroi B'Sheila that to be mevatel anisa in either the meyo or in ichishim? Don't we have a v'feresh b'raisa v'hatanya? We have a b'raisa that says zehu heter habo mechlal iser. This parsha of Zeroi B'Sheila is an exception to the rule. Over here, it's batel b'shishim of the meyo. However, you calculate it. In all other cases, it's not bottle. So how can he tell me that you derive from the parsha of Zeroi B'Sheila to Kol HaTorah Kula? That's what they both said. Kol Yisurim Shabbat Torah, that the Yisur falls into Heter, that's the Losh. Kol Yisurim Shabbat Torah, Abimeya, kolisim shabbat Torah b'shishim, and you derive it from Zera b'sheila. But the Brisa says this is an exception to the rule. Only here it's mutter. Kol atar kulu. It's also zehu het abo mechlalisa. What do you mean zehu? This case lemutei mai. What does it mean? Lovely muti kolisim shabbat Torah. That it's not b'shishim and it's not b'meya. It doesn't even help if you have shishim and meya. So how can either version of bar kapara say you derive from here to kol atar kulu? The Brisa said first you don't derive. So the Gemara is going to give three different suggestions. Abai is going to give an answer. Rav is going to give an answer. Avina is going to give an answer. Everybody's going to give a different interpretation. That Brisa that says Zehu Heta Haba Mechlalisa is not referring to the Shishim and the Meir. No, Shishim and the Meir you do derive from here to Kol HaTorah Kula. It's a different thing what the Brisa says. The Parsha Zera B'Sheila is a quirk. There is some exception to the rule here. There's a kula that doesn't apply anywhere else. Amar Abaye, Abaye says on Nitzuch Elele Reb Yuda. That brisa that says that there's a special heter by Zera B'Sheila that doesn't apply anywhere else, that brisa follows the opinion of Reb Yuda. There was a machloikas. We already had it a few times. Machloikas Reb Yuda and the Chachamim, whether min b'mino b'mashehu or min b'mino is batul. We had it by Kisei Hadam. We had if you shech the behemah, so there's no mitzvah of Kisei Hadam. Shech Chayvi, if there is a mitzvah of Kisei Adam. So let's say he shechts Chayvi, shechts a chay, shechts a chicken, turkey, whatever, and then he shechts, and he didn't do the Kisei Adam yet, and then he shechts other behemoths that don't need Kisei Adam. Behemoth does need Kisei Adam, only Chayvi. And there's so much blood there, you know, there's way more blood from the behemoth than there is Chayvi. So you should say the blood from the Chayvi is bottled bereif, so you can't fulfill the mitzvah of Kisei Adam. Should have done Kisei Adam before you mixed the dam in with the other dam. Shouldn't have let all the dam get the taruvis. Reb Yehuda disagree. Reb Yehuda holds mim mimina is b'mashu. Mim mimina is b'mashu. Or let's say you have a tray for water. How can you have tray for water? Someone has a cup of water. He deifies. He bows down to the water. It's his water. He bowed down. He said, this is his avodah zarah. So the water, the cup of tea, becomes asavano. And then it got mixed in with other water. So is it bottle or not? So Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is if it's lach balach and it's a tarubis, so lach balach min b'minoy is never bottle. Where did he come off? Where did he get such an einfall that lach balach min b'min is not bottle? Because the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to shech the whole bunch of karbonis. A different opinion. 15, 16 karbonis. A different opinion. How many karbonis he brings? So one of the karbonis is parachatos and one is sorei lashem. This is Sor Lazazel also. So, and he does the Zrike in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in front of the Kapoiras, in front of the Orin, in the Bais Rishon. The Bais Shein of the Orin wasn't there, so he did the Zrike in front of the location where the Orin used to be there. The Eben Shesia was there. Eben Shesia is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, gigantic rock. So he does the Zrike there. Then he does another Zrike in front of the Pareches. Then he mixed it with Dam HaPor, with Dam HaSor separately. Then he takes the Dam HaPor, Parachatas HaShaloi, and the Sor Lashem, he mixes the Dam together, Ma'arvin the Kronos. He mixes it together, then he does Rika on the Mizbech HaPnimi. There was a Mizbech HaPnimi and Mizbech HaZohav, and then the Mizbech HaChitza. So Mizbech HaPnimi all year long is only Miyuchad for Ktoris. You're not allowed to be Zorik any Dam, you're not allowed to be Maktim or anything else, only for Ktoris. Once in a long, long while, they would be makriv other. They would do other karbonis. So once, one of the times that they do is Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. He takes ulokach midam apor midam asoyer. He mixes together ma'arvin lekronis. He mixes together the dam, and you do zrika on the four kronis of the mizbach hazorav. So the Gemara says the par is a big fat animal. The soyer is a skinny malink. So when you shech the dam, when you're going to shech the par and shech the soyer, the stam is going to be much more dam gushing out from the par than from the sor. So you're probably going to have twice as much, much more dam apor than you're going to have dam asor. You can rig it to have it the other direction. You can hold the klishares under the neck of the sor for longer. Hold the klishares under the neck of the par only for 1 second. Hold the klishares that you're mekabel adam under the neck of this sor for 5 seconds. So you're going to have more dam asoyer than you're going to have dam apor, but it's not going to be 50-50. The odds are a billion to one. That's not going to be five zillion, trillion, million. It's not going to be 50-50 dam apur, dam asur. Either it's going to be normal, there's going to be way more dam apur than dam asur. It'll be more dam asur than dam apur. It's highly unlikely. The odds are a million to one. It's not going to be 50-50. So how can the Kohen Gadol ever fulfill the mitzvah of v'lokach ha-kohen midam ha-por midam ha-sayer? And he does ma'arvin l'kronis. He mixes the dam together and he does the zrika. On the four kindness of mizbeach ha-pnimi and the mizbeach ha-zov, the dam ha-sayer is batlan and dam ha-par. So it's batl b'raiv. So it's batl b'raiv, so it's only, it's all called dam ha-par. Whatever is the raiv, whatever is 51% is the raiv. So Rabbi Yehuda derives from that pasuk to call a tarakula that min b'nina b'mashu. If you have lach balach nemina, we said if you buy three salamis, you buy two kosher salami, one tray for salami, that's yavish b'yavish, that's not lach balach. Rabbi Yehuda is not talking about yavish b'yavish, he's only talking about lach balach. That's what Tosis points out in a few places. So Rabbi Yehuda learns out from that pasuk that min b'mina is b'mashu. The chachamim, this Rashi paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, that min b'mina b'mashu. And Tosis rejects it. I think we had that last week. That was the long Tosis over here on Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph. Tosis quotes the Rashi in a few places. Rashi holds the min b'mina b'mashu, and Tosis says we don't pass like Rashi. Then Rashi holds that Tam Kikar is the Rabbanim. We don't pass like that Rashi either. The two major topics in Yerhideya are whether min b'mashu, Rashi loses. And Rashi holds that Tam Kikar is love the Rashi. Rashi loses also. We pass like Tosis. The Tam Kikar is the Rashi. The need for Shishim is a din min haTorah. It's not a din min the Rabbanim. So Rabbi Yehuda learns out from this pasuk, v'lokach midam hapor midam hasoyer, that min b'mino, if it's lach b'lach, is b'mashu. What are the chachamim who disagree? Tosfos says we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. So what do they do with that pasuk taka? V'lokach hakoyim midam hapor midam hasoyer. So the Gemara says, Rashi and Tosfos quote it. The chachamim say, and zvachim they say, become the old and shame of atmosphere. So the dam hapor is supposed to be nizrak on the mizbeach. Dam Hazar is supposed to be Nizok on the Mizbeach also, so that's called Olim, things that are Ola on the Mizbeach. So that's like Heter Beheter. That's like Heter Beheter. They're both supposed to be, the only time there's Bittel Berb is when there's a clash. So then the Rov takes over, and the Miut loses its identity in the conglomerate. So the Yehuda is of the opinion, whenever it's Min Minas, so there's no clash. This is Dam and that's Dam, or this is Maim and that's Maim. You have Trefa Maim, Kosher Maim. So whenever it's min b'mina, lach b'lach, so there's no clash. So you don't say that the miut loses its identity. The chachamim also say the same thing. You only say bitul b'roiv, and there's a clash. But they say the clash does depend on min b'minoi, whether it's dam b'dam, mayim b'mayim, or something like that. They say if it's issa falls into heter, that's a clash. But if it's heter b'heter, oilim, this is oila, and that's oila. The dam apor is supposed to be nizrak on the mizbech, and dam asor is supposed to be nizrak. It's all similar. So if it's very similar, there's no conflict, there's no clash. Then it's not bavel beroy. So that's the machlekes. What do you learn? You see something from the pasuk. V'lokach medam apor medam asor. You see that the dam asor does not become mizbatul beroy, even though clearly you have more dam apor. Rabbi Yehuda learns from here to kol atarkula the min b'minoi is b'mashu lach b'lach. And the Chachamim say no, that it's mikam ba'ol neshem batlan. It's also the same as Rabbi Yehuda min b'mino. There's a famous run in the Dorim on Daf Nun Beis. Rav Soloveitchik used to make fun of it. He said that it's the Tel Zeran. He used to call it the Tel Zeran. And Tels, they would sometimes make chakiris. In Brisk, they made fun of the way they learned in Tels, and the Tels, they made fun of the way they learned in Brisk. Each one didn't hold from the other one. So in Tels, they would sometimes clear. Is it, does it depend on the Metzias or does it depend on the Halacha? They had their own language. So that's what the Ran in the Dorm says. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan both see from this pasuk that min b'minoi is b'mashu, but they argue, how do you declare, how do you decide whether it's min b'minoi? So Rabbi Yehuda says it depends on Metzias. Dam b'dam, mayim b'mayim is min b'minoi. It depends on Metzias. And the Chacham say, no, it depends on the Halacha. Olim ein mabatlin, if they're both nizrak on the Mizbech, if one is kosher, one is treif, that's already called the clash. That's min b'shein amina. But if they're both kosher, then it's called min b'mina. So both say the same thing, that min b'mina, there's no clash. It's b'mashu, it's not batel, but they argue, what's the definition of min b'mina? Rabbi Yehuda says it depends on the metzias. Dam b'dam, mayim b'mayim, is min b'mina, so there's no clash. And Rabbanan says it depends on the isa v'heta status, on the halachic status. So again, so Abai interprets this brisa that says Zel Heter Abo Mechlalisa, this parsha of Zerua B'Sheila is an exception to the rule, and the Kula only applies here, cannot be extended to anywhere else. It doesn't go on the Shishim and the Meir. No, you derive from here to Kola Tarkula that the din is Isur Mabakul B'Shishim of the Meir. The line in the brisa that this is an exception to the rule, this heter, it goes in Rabbi Yehuda's sheet. Rabbi Yehuda holds in Kol HaTarakula, Mimbeminas B'mashahu. So over here, what's going on? You cook the Zerua B'Sheila together with the rest of the flesh of the El Nazir, of the Shalmei Nazir. So that's flesh and this is flesh. It's all Mimbeminai. The flavor of the Zerua B'Sheila floats into the El Nazir. So how can the non-Kohanim eat the El Nazir? It's mim b'mina is b'mashu. So that's what the Brisa says. According to Rabbi Yudah, this is an exception to the rule here and only here. We say mim b'mina is b'tl. Even though it's lach b'lach, mim b'mina is b'tl. That's what Abai interprets. That Brisa that says this is an exception to the rule, but nitzuch el alibi Rabbi Yudah. The Yomar, in general, he holds mim b'mina loy b'tl, k'mash m'lan d'hacha b'tl. This is an exception to the rule. Bas Rabbi Sheila, it is batal.
But by Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you also have the same problem by Yom Kippur. It's not only here, it's in both places.
But on Yom Kippur, it's not batal. And here we say it is batal. And Yom Kippur, it's not batal. So when he mixes together, Dama Par, Dama Sayer, each one retains its identity, even though one is way more than the other. So there you say, Mim B'mina is B'masha. Here you say, Mim B'mina is batal. Because the Zarim are permitted to eat the rest of the El Nazir. So that you have two psukim that contradict each other, according to Rabbi Yehuda. By Yom Kippurim, you say, V'lokach midam apar midam asor, that teaches you that mim mimina lach balach is b'mashu. And here we say, mim mimina is bottled. So the Gemara says, how does Rabbi Yehuda note to place emphasis on the pasuk of Yom Kippur? What does he derive from a Yom Kippur? Then in Kol HaTarkula, Mim B'mina B'mashahu, and he says, Rabbi Sheila is the exception to the rule. Maybe Faket, maybe Rabbi Sheila is the rule. Then Mim B'mina is batal, and Lokach Midam HaPam Midam HaSam, maybe that's the exception to the rule. So that's what the Gemara asks. Frag the Gemara, my Chazis, and how did you decide? Chazis, where did you see? Mm-hmm. Where did you see? How did you, the Gamri Meheich, how did Rabbi Yehuda decide to learn from Lokach Medam Apar? He learns from Yom Kippur to Kol HaTarakula. Mim B'mina is B'mashu, Ligma Mehai. Why don't you learn from this parsha that Mim B'mina Lach B'lach is Batul? It's clearly a contradiction. So how do you know which is the rule, which is the exception to the rule? So the Gemara, you can't learn from here. You can't learn from Zerua B'Sheila to Kol HaTarakula, the Kula. Why? Because Chidushu Mechidush Loi Gamrinon. Because Zerua B'Sheila has a Kula. Zerua B'Sheila has a Kula that Mim B'mina is Batal. And Lokach Medam HaPar Yom Kippur has the Chumra, Mim B'mina is not Batal. So the Gemara says you cannot learn out a Kula from Zerua B'Sheila to Kol HaTorah Kula that Mim B'mina is Batal, because we know that Zerua B'Sheila is Kula Chidush. The whole Pasha has a Chidush Lahakil. All the dinim and the Torah fit into one big pattern. So that's why we assume you learn that midinecha lachaber, you learn that Ma'amad Sina, Dinyanav. You try to figure out what's the big picture of Kol HaTorah Kula. So you learn that. Whenever there's a pasuk in one place, you learn that to all the other dinim. Like we always quote the pasuk, how do you know you have to hold the esrog with the lulav, with the pitam up, with the lulav up? How do you know I can't hold it upside down? The pasuk doesn't say by lulav. The pasuk says, atzi shitam omdim. The Karsha HaMishkan were wood, and you had to have it the way it grew from the ground. It grows from the ground like this. This is up. You can't put the Karshim upside down, you can't put it sideways. It has to be omdim, kederakadi lasim, like this. So that's the pasuk by the Karsha, by the Karshim of the Mishkan. Who says that should apply to Lulav and the Esrog? Gemara says no. If it's written in one place, all the dinim fit into one big pattern. So you learn that from the Karsha HaMishkan. Whenever you need a natural item, an Aron Kodesh, there's no halacha, has to be made from wood. You can make it from stone, you can make it from metal. So if you want to make it from wood, there's no din that the wood has to be kedar kedi losam. Let's say the poles or the bookcases, whatever you have here, anything made from wood, tables. There's no halacha, you have to have anything made from wood. So if it could have been a different material, so you don't need kedar kedi losam. But the lulav in essence has to be gedarek lelosim, because you need a natural item that grew from the ground. So that's what the Gemara says. Chidishu mechidish legarminon. Since zroy b'sheila is clearly a chidish lahokel, that usually the way you say, usually aim about the nisa lachatchila, and here we do allow it. So you see that clearly there's a chidish means an exception to the rule. It's a yotze min haklal. Chidish doesn't mean a din that I would never have known on my own. Every pasuk in the Chumash I would never know on my own. That's not called a chidish. Chidish means an exception to the rule. The rule usually is aim about the nisa lachatchila, but here we do allow it. So zroy b'sheila has a chidish lahokel. So the Gemara says, you cannot learn out any other kulas from Zerah B'Sheila to Kol HaTar Kula, that Min B'Minah should be Batal, because we know that Zerah B'Sheila is an exception to the rule, it's a Chiddush. So Mechiddush
Layafinat. Why doesn't
the Schach then have to be vertical? That's a Kasha, and worked very hard on that. Schach has to be Giduli Karka, so why don't we insist on having Giduli Karka standing up? It would be a difficult, it would be quite a stunt.
You can cut thin slices, small slices of bamboo.
Right. Right, they work on that kasha. They work on that kasha. Let's say when you bring bikurim to the Beis HaMikdosh, is there a din that when you give it to the kohen, you have to hold the bikurim the same way it grew from the ground? We never found that in the Gemara. Why don't you require when you bring bikurim, you have to bring it? Kedar kedi losam? Why only the lulav and the esrig? Or the schach, they work on that kasha. Yeah, this Dechemek quotes a lot on that kasha. I don't know, remember what he says, I just remember the kasha is better than the Teretz. But it's a very good kasha. If you're learning to call out Tarakuda, you're extrapolating from Atzishit Mamdim to Kol HaTarkul, so whenever you need a natural item, you should need Kederach Dilosim. So that's what the Gemara says. You have Shnei Ksuvim HaMakishim Zezeh. By Yom Kippur it says, Dama Pori Dama Soyer, the Min B'Mino is not bottle. And here by the Zerah B'Sheh, the Min B'Mino is bottle. So how do you know to learn from the Chumre, maybe learn from the Kula? Taisus throws in a comment here, my Chazis. Taisus says, we usually have a klal, when you're not sure which direction to go, you can either say lahakal or lahachmer, so the rule usually is you go lahachmer. So what does the Gemara say over here? My chazis, how do you know to learn from Yom Kippur to kol ha-tarkula, mimiminez b'mashu, why not learn from Zerah B'Sheila to kol ha-tarkula, mimiminez is bottle. So Taisus says, whenever you have a toss-up, you have to go lachumra. So what was the Gemara's kasha? Okay, so that's a good kasha. Taisus works on that kasha. That itself, that klal, kalecha dika lakushi, luchumer lakula, luchumer makshinan, that's the first line in the Taisus Machlokes. That's a famous Machlokes. Taisus and other Masechtas has two days. What is that klal based on? What is that? So some Rishonim say that that's because Sofik deraisa luchumer. If you don't know which way to darshan, so you have to go to Chumra Sofik, the right to Chumra. And others say it's not B'Torah Sofik, it's B'Torah Svadai, Nidihi B'Torah. It's one of the Nidish HaTorah Nidreshes Ben. If you can darshan either this way or that way, so you have to darshan the Chumra, not B'Torah Sofik, it's going to be B'Torah Svadai. So that's a major machlekes in Bali HaTesis. What is that? But there is such a cloud. Kalecha Dika Lakusha L'Chumra L'Kun L'Chumra Makshin. But the Gemara does ask the Kasha. The Gemara asks, why do you make the rule? Is the pasuk by Yom Kippur? Maybe the rule should be the pasuk by Zerah B'Sheila. The Mimimim is bottle. And Mara says, no, you can't learn out a kula from Zerah B'Sheila because we know Zerah B'Sheila has a kula. That's an exception to the rule. Chidushu. Zerah B'Sheila is a chidush. Why? Because normally, aim of Atanis l'chatchil, and here we do allow it. So since it's a chidush l'hokel, so you have no right to learn out any other kula from Zerah B'Sheila to Kol HaTarkula. We know it doesn't fit into the pattern. That's what I mean. Mechidush, like I mean, you can't learn out because we know it sticks out like a sore thumb. Vegmar Kasha Ihochi, if you see that the parsha of Zerah B'Sheila is Kul HaChidush, because we usually say, Eim Avat Nes L'Chatchila here, you allow it, or because usually there's never a mitzvah to cook treifas with kosher. Here it's a mitzvah to mix in the treifas with the kosher. However you say, how do you learn out the both versions of Raman Aleph of what Bakoros Bar Kapora said? You learn out from Zerah B'Sheila that in Kol HaTarkula Anisa falls into a heter. If you have Shishim, you have Meya, it'll be Muta. How can you learn out that Kula? We know Zerah B'Sheila has a Kula, that it's Muta Levat Anisa L'Chatchila. So you can't learn out any Kulas from Zerah B'Sheila to Kol HaTarkula. And for the Gemara, Otto Anan the Kula Gamina. You're trying to learn out a Kula. No, you're learning out a Chumra, because basically the din should have been Otto Anan the Kula Gamina. We're learning out Shishim and Meir. That's a Kula that you're saying since Rabbi Sheila. We know it has Kulas that it's Muta Levata Lisa Lechatzilis. So we know it's an exception to the rule, so you can't learn out any kulas from there. No, the chumer gaminim, because Madarai said it didn't should have been Baruba bottle. It didn't should have been, Rashi says, we have the pasuk, achri rabim lahatois. Rashi quotes the pasuk in Mishpatim. It says in Parsha Mishpatim, achri shmos chav gimel, Rashi quotes. It says achri rabim lahatois, and the chumish means if you have a bezdin, has a din Torah, and din in mamonis, a din in the fashas. So there's a split vote, so you follow the majority opinion. So that's the Poshib shot in the Pasuk. But it also included in the Pasuk is not only Acharab Lahatos, also included is that on Pesach night, when you drink Arba Kaisis, if you drink Rav Kais, Ruba Kukula. When you shech the animal, so we learned you have to shech the Kona in the Veshet. Kona is the windpipe, the Veshet is the food pipe. So if you say Ruba Kukula, if you shech Rav of the Kona Genuk, Rav of the Veshet is Genuk. That's also somehow, that's problematic. Also included in the Pasuk, Acharyab Mahatis, even though the Pasuk is talking about the split vote in the Bezin. And also included in the Pasuk is that you say Bitl Berayv, that if Dam HaPar is Meruba Midam HaSoyer, so you should have said that Dam HaSoyer becomes Bitl Berayv, whichever is 51%, so that should win. Whatever is the Miut should be considered as if it's not there. So the din should have been the midrash said the din should have been beruba batal. We really should have said whenever treifus falls into heter should be batal berayv. So you're learning out a chumra over here from Zerad B'Sheila that is not batal berayv. You need shishma, you need meya. So since the chiddush that you have in Zerad B'Sheila is a chiddush lahakel that muta levata lisa lechatchila kula, so you can't learn out kulas from Zerad B'Sheila to call out their kubat chumras. You can learn out. You don't see that Zerad B'Sheila is an exception to the rule. Lahachma, it's only an exception to the rule of Hakel. So Kulas he can't learn out, but Chumis he can learn out. That's what the Gemara says. Atwanan, the Kula Gamina, are we trying to learn out a Kula from Zera B'Sheila? The Chumra Gamina, we're trying to learn out a Chumra that you don't say Bitl B'Rayv. You really should have said Acharam Lahatas Bitl B'Rayv. And we don't say you need Shishim, you need Meis. You're learning out a Chumra. That's a topic for discussion. How did the Chachamim see from that pasuk in Mishpatim and Shmos chapter Chav Gimel? Rashi quotes Acharam. How did they see all the three dinim? You see, Azlina Bosa Ruba. You assume when you have a split vote, you assume the Rabbim are probably right. Or let's say any other case. Let's say you don't know a couple was married. And they went let's say a man was married, had two wives, and he moves with one wife to Medina Sayyam, the other wife is behind here, and they never had any children. He was just married and he moves to Medina Sayyam. So the wife was here, she can't have any children. The husband left to Medina Sayyam, he left her over here. We don't know whether he had any children. So 10 years later we hear that the husband died. We don't know did he ever have any children. So the Gemara says, Rav Nashim Misarbis Violdos, Rav women who are married have babies. It's rare that a couple is married and they don't have any children. So we go basarayv, so we assume that the wife who lives here, the husband is dead, she's allowed to be married. We don't assume maybe there are no children and maybe she's Iba Malashuk and she's not allowed to be married unless she's going to have chalitza from the husband's brother. You go basarayv, you always go, let's say you drink milk from a behema. Maybe the behema has a trefa, so you're not allowed to drink the milk, just like milk from an elephant is also. Milk from a pig is also, milk from a horse is also. The milk from a cow that has a trephis inside, you can't see the trephis. If you take an x-ray, you'll be able to see if it has any trephis on the lungs. But if you don't take an x-ray, you don't know if it has any trephis. How can you ever drink any milk? Maybe the animal is a trepha. So you say, Rob Behemoth Chavis, you go Basarayv. So how do you know you go Basarayv? So that we see from the Pasuk Acharab Mahatis. When you have a split vote in the Bezdin, so you assume that the Rove is probably correct and the Miut made a mistake. So you learn from that the probability, the law of probability. So that you can see from the post. But how do you learn out the other two dinim, Ruba Kukuloi? And how do you learn out the other din, Abitl Berov? We don't know, but that's what the Gemara assumes. You learn from that one post, all the three dinim. You learn out Azlina Basa Ruba, probability, you follow the Rav in establishing probabilities, you learn out Bittel Berav, and you learn out Ruba Kekulai also.
The Miut is command a lesson.
Yeah, in all the cases, we say the Miut is command a lesson. But the original Pasuk is only going on probabilities, not going on Ruba Kekulai, but everything somehow is included. So they quote from Abchaim some kind of an explanation, but the problem is better than the solution. That's the din. You learn that from that pasuk, all the three. From this Gemara, it's clear that this rule, Mechidesh Lo Yafinon, if you have a parsha in the Chumash that has 1,000 dinim, and you assume all the dinim in the Torah fit into a pattern, so you can extend, you can extrapolate from this parsha to call a Torah Kula. Like Atzei Shita Momdim, you learn everything has to be Kedarak Adi Losam. So, but if this parsha, we know, has an exception to the rule, and maybe the whole parsha is kula chiddush and you can't learn anything else. So the Gemara said only halfway. If the parsha has a chiddush lehokel, then you can't learn out a kula from here. Maybe this whole parsha is chiddush. It's an exception to the rule lehokel. But if it has a chiddush lehokel, you want to learn out a din lehachmer to call it her kula. That the Gemara says you can learn out. Rabbi Kiveger asked the kasha. There's a Tosfos in Bava Kamma where they say not so. They say if you have a parsha that has a chiddush lehokel, then you can't learn anything out from the parsha, even lahachmer. So Rabbi Kiveger asked, isn't it against this Gemara? That's a murderous kasha against the Tosfos. Because the Gemara is a beferish. If the parsha is only a chiddush lahakel, then you can't learn out lahachmer. So again, so we had, the Gemara was learning out Shishim Omeya from Zeroy B'Shela, and the Gemara asked, but how can you learn out anything from here? I have a Hatanya right in the middle of Omid Bev. Hatanya have a Braisa. Zeu het abo mechlalisa. Only over here it's mutter. And kol haTorah kula, it's not mutter. So doesn't it mean that the Shishim and the Meir don't help in kol haTorah kula? Gemara says no. Abai says no. That Braisa goes alibi the Reb Yudah. Then in kol haTorah kula we hold mimimina b'mashahu. And over here it's an exception to the rule. By Zerah b'shele, mimimina is not b'mashahu. That's what Abayi says. And Rava has a different interpretation in the Braisa, and Rabina is going to have a third interpretation. Rava says, Rava Omar, Lo Nitzrucha Ela, that Braisa that says that by Zerah B'Shele there's a Chiddush Lahakel, which doesn't apply in Kol HaTorah Kula, that refers to the following then, Lo Nitzrucha Ela, Letam Ki Iker, the Bekotchim Osur. By all other karbanas, the din would have been the tam ki iker is aser, so kamash malan, the hocha shori. Here it's an exception to the rule that it's mutter. Well, what's tam ki iker? Such a peladik. Tam ki iker is when you have min b'shein aminoi. Here it's min b'minoi.
Min b'minoi. Could it be that there's two definitions of min b'minoi? In other words, if you have dam and dam, of course, they're the same. But if you have dam and water, but you're using it for the mizbeach, both.
Yeah.
Then maybe it's considered.
According
like
to the chachamim, that would be called. According to the chachamim, it depends on the dinim. So if they're both oil on the mizbeach, then it's called mim b'mim. According to Rabbi, it depends on metzias, dam and dam. According to Rabbanan, they also say the same mim b'minay. But the definition of mim b'mina depends if it's both nizruk on the mizbeach. Then it's called mim b'mina. Whenever there's no clash.
And if you have a solid and a liquid, that would be brought.
Solid and liquid, there's no taruvus. Taruvus is if you have a liquid and liquid gets mixed in. Solid and liquid is.
But if you bring it to the mizbeach, for example, you would want to bring it the solid and the liquid.
But you can separate it. Here's the solid, here's the liquid. They're two different things. Mm-hmm. We're talking only at Tarubis of Lach Balach, when everything blends in together. Blila, when everything blends in together. So usually, the word, the terminology, Tam Ki Ike, means it gives a flavor. It gives a flavor means it has two different flavors. You have a candy bar, and you have 30 different ingredients. And each ingredient changes the flavor a little bit. So that's called Tam Ki Ike. You have cookies, you have a cake, and it has a little chazashmaltz in it. So every ingredient changes the flavor a little bit. So that's called tam ki iker. But over here, what's tam ki iker? You're cooking the zeroy b'shela together with the rest of the ale nozer. It's all flesh and flesh. How is it tam ki iker? That's what Tesis asks. What in the world is going on here? What's for tam ki iker? So Tesis says this whole gemara is an asmachta. because Taisa says the whole thing is talking about Zerah B'Sheil is all flesh with flesh. It's min b'minas, and Menatar is bottle b'roib. The whole need for Shishim is only mid the Rabbanon, exer min b'mino, at the min b'shein amino. So what are you learning out from Psukim? So Taisa says the whole Gemara is an asmachta. That's what Taisa says. The whole Gemara is an asmachta. But Rashi holds not so. Rashi, we spoke last week a little bit. Rashi's opinion is whenever you have lach balach, you always need Shishim Ameya before you bat an eyelash. And you learn that from this parsha. You always need Shishim Ameya. Then after you have the Shishim Ameya, now we discuss. If it's still nice and tam, do you say tam ki yikada? After Shishim. After Shishim. If it's still nice and tam, is that a din deraisa or is that a din derabbanan? So Rashi holds that's a din derabbanan. But before Shishim, that's a din menatar. Even min b'mino, you need Shishim. Rashi's opinion is min b'mino is b'mashahu. Rashi paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, the min b'mino, b'mashahu, and the Chachamim disagree. Rashi holds the whole machlok is only after you have Shishim. Before you have Shishim, there's nothing to discuss. For sure it's going to be awesome. Whenever you have lach balach, we learn from the Pasuk that you always need Shishim ameya before you bat an eyelash. And then Rashi holds, then begins the discussion. If it's min b'mino, is it b'mashu? Or do you say, no, it's batal, but it's only after Shishim. Rashi holds Shishim by min b'mino is deraisa. That's what Rabbi Kevega comments on in Rashi and Bab Metzia. Never heard of such a thing. Never heard of such a thing, but that's Rashi's opinion. A few places Rashi holds like that. And Tosfos says this whole Gemara is all an asmachta. So that's the problem here. Rava says, that line in the Braisa, that says Zeu het abom chalisa, this is only a kula over here by Yisrael b'sheilo. So Rabbi says it goes on the topic of tam ki iker. The bekotchim usually tam ki iker is aser kamash malan the hocha shari. So Tosfos says, what do you mean the hocha shari? It's not tam ki iker. It's min b'mina over here. It's min b'mina. What kind of a tam ki iker is it? Apella Diki Gemara. They said the whole thing is an asmachta. Then the Gemara asks, Gemara v'ligma mine. So let's learn out from here to kola tarkula that there's no din of tam kika deraisa. So the Gemara says, no. We have two psukim that contradict each other. Goli rachmana gabi chatos. The pasuk says, if you have a korban chatos, it can only be eaten by zicher kuna yom v'layla at chatzos. So let's say the pasuk says kol hashiyigid b'vsara yigdosh. Let's say you have a korban shlamim. A korban shlamim can be eaten in Yerushalayim and can be eaten by Yisraelim. It doesn't have to be eaten dafke by kohanim. So let's say I have a korban shlamim. The flesh of a shlamim is hot, and it touches the flesh of a chatos, and each one is going to be boleah from the other because it's hot. So now a non-kohen is not allowed to eat the shlamim. Because the shlamim has a bliya from the chatos, kol hashiyigid b'vsara yigdosh. And let's say the chatos was brought today at the 12 o'clock in the afternoon. So the chatos can eat in yom v'layla at chatzos. The shlamim was brought yesterday. So shlamim you can eat shnei yom v'layla echad. If the shlamim was brought yesterday, you can eat the shlamim yesterday and last night and today till shkia. But you can't eat the shlamim after the shkia. So if the shlamim gives a bliya into the chatos, you can't eat the chatos yom v'layla at chatzos. You can only eat the chatos till the shkia, because it has a bliya from the shlamim. And the shlamim normally can be eaten by Yisraelim, whoever a Jewish person is Torah. You can't give it to a goy. It can be eaten by anyone who's Torah, a Jewish person is Torah. But if the shlamim has a bliya from the chatos, they're both hot and they're touching each other, then the shlamim can only be eaten by zicher kuna and the azor. It can't be eaten in Yerushalayim. So that's the braisa. Kol hashiyigid b'vsara yigdosh. What do you mean yigdosh? If something touches the chatos, it becomes holy. It doesn't become holy. What it means? Elias kamaya shimsulat tipasim ksheret yochel kochay meshaba. If each one is balea from the other, you have to go the chumra in both directions. The shlamim can no longer be eaten by Yisraelim, and the chatos can no longer be eaten yom v'layla at chatzos. You have to finish eating it by yom. So that's the mocker. That pasuk yigdash is the mocker of the din of tam ki iker in kochim. So you learn from that pasuk that there is a din of tam ki iker. And this pasuk tells you, you cook the Zerah B'Sheila together with the rest of the Shalmei Nozer, there's no din of tam ki iker. So this is an exception to the rule. Shalmei Nozer is an exception to the rule. Frag the more, how did you decide which is the rule and which is the exception to the rule? Umaychos is, and how did you assess the situation. How did you see the inside? Why did you decide to learn from Yigdash that in all the dinabam kachim tam kiker? Frag the Gemara again. Umay chazis the garmini mehech ligma mehai. Learn from here that there's no din of tam kiker and kachim. Everything Gemara no chidushu. El Nozer is a Chiddush L'Hokro, so you cannot learn out any coolness from El Nozer. So you have to learn out the Chumrah from Yigdash. Freg the Gemara, so how can you learn out the Hochi L'Mei V'Shishim Nami Lo Ligmar? How can you learn out Mei V'Shishim? If you tell me that Shalme Nozer is an exception to the law, how can you learn out Mei V'Shishim to call it Tor? Because the Gemara gives the same answer as before. We see that Shalmei Nozer is an exception to the rule Lahokel, that you make all that you say there's no din of tam kika. We're saying the Chomer Kogarminan. El Nozer is a kula, has a chiddush, it's an exception to the rule that has a kula. But we're trying to learn out a Chomer from El Nozer, that you need shishim, that you need mayo, you need shishim, so that you can learn out. Okay. These are very important. Okay, now next week we'll have to touch up some more. Whenever we daven Shmon Esrei, we always start off the same. Elakeinu, Elakeav, Yisreinu, Elakei Avraham, Elakei Yitzchak, Elakei Yankev. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our God and the God of our ancestors. That's in today's Sedra you have in Oz Yashir. We say Zekelev Yanvehu, Elakei Aviv Aranim Enhu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God of my ancestors and He's my God. Zekeli, Elakeinu, Velakei Aviv. And the God of my fathers. It's an interesting lashon. It's a very interesting lashon. The Gemara in the end of Shavuos comments on the pasuk. It says, when we come to Eretz Yisrael, there's going to be a lot of Avodah Zarah. The days of Yishuv, there was a lot of Avodah Zarah. And there's a mitzvah, Bir Avodah Zarah, both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Lord. But it's not the same. In Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says, Abeiti Abdun. It's called Kefal lashon, double. Abeiti Abdun means the Jewish army has the obligation to search out all the Avodah Zarah and to destroy everything. You're not mechuyev, it's not our country. You're not mechuyev. If I buy an apartment and there's a getchke there, so it's tachas shlitasi, so then I should destroy. I'm not mechuyev to go wage a whole war to clean out the United States of America from Avodah Zarah. But in Eretz Yisrael, if you have shiltan, if you're not going to make a whole world war, so you have an obligation to go search out all the Avodah Zarah. So the pasuk says, "Avei Tabdunas Kalam Mukam Shabbat Hashem Agayim Savahem Alaharim," and says, "Psiv Alahem Tegadeon." You have to destroy this bechosem titoitza matzeh vasem teabedun, and then it says, "Vibal Temeshmam and Amakum." You have to destroy all the names of the Avodah Zarah. Then it says, "Olsasen Kein Lashem Alkechem." You're not allowed to do any of this to the Rabbanu Shalom. So that's an Ashar the Noit Het Seven Men Amizbeach. You're not allowed to. God says, Mizbachosim Titotsun, you have to destroy the Mizbachos of Avodah Zarah. So one is noted, seven men are Mizbech, Zarah and Alav, and so on. So the same thing, Vibaratim Hashmam, you're not allowed to destroy Shem Hashem. Lo Sasa Kem Hashem Lo Kechem. So that's what the Gemara says. One is Mochik as Hashem, Asar the Mochik as Hashem. If the Shem Hashem is written, you're not allowed to erase it. So the Gemara in the end of Shavuos lists up the Rezayin Shem Hashem and Mechokim, the seven names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're not allowed to erase. If you have the Holy One, the Merciful One, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, Blessed Be He, that's a kinoi, that's not a Shem Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rachum Chanun, that's a kinoi, that's not. But Shin Dalad Yud, that's a Shem Hashem. Yud Kei Vav Kei Av Dalad Nun Yud. The Gemara says there are seven. Which exactly are the seven? So in Yeridah they have different girsois from the Rishonim. So the Bi'ur HaGro points out that according to some Rishonim, Elokim is one Shem Hashem, and Elokeinu is another Shem Hashem. It's the same Elokim. Elokim Shalanu. It's the same thing. No. I understand Yud Kei Vav Kei is a Shem Hashem, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Shakai Tzvokois. Okay? These are different Shemes of Hashem. But Elokim and Elokeinu. So the Vilna Gaon says, yes, it's a different Shem. Elokim means he's a God, and Elokeinu means he relates to me. I relate to him, and he relates to me. That's a separate Shem. Hashem, Hashem, that the Ribbono Shel Olam relates to men, and we relate to him. And everyone relates to him in a different way. So that's what we say in the Shmon Esrei, is based on this pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my God, and He's the God of my ancestors. Each person relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu differently. It's Elokeili, Elokeiovi, it's the possessive. Each person relates to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you have to relate differently. We say, my parents, my ancestors related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu one way, and I have a tradition, and I relate, each person relates differently. Everyone davens differently for different things. Everyone negotiates differently with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's an interesting concept that the Vilna Goyen has, some Rishonim have, that's one of the Zayin Shem, it's a separate Shem. Elokim is one Shem, and Elokeinu, or Elokeiovi, or Keili, is another Shem, the way the Ribbono Shel Olam relates to each person individually. Something to think about.
Kael is the third one?
Yeah, Kael is not the same as Elokim.
So
Eloka is a different one. So that's what the Meroshim told. What's the difference?
And you have more than seven eventually.
Yeah, you have way more than seven, so that's what you have to figure out. How do they decide which count and which don't count?
Uh-huh. Kael's
a different one. Keli would be again a different one. Just like
no,
Elokim would
be. The possessive of all of the Shemes is another Shem.
So
Keli and Elokim, yeah. Elokai. Possessive is a different.
Thank you for stopping to see Josh.
Yes.